Okay, let's kick things off with a paradox. It's something I think, well, everyone listening probably feels every single day. We live in this world of like infinite shelf space. You look at Google, YouTube, Spotify, TikTok, there's literally no limit to how much stuff can exist. The shelf just goes on forever. But, and this is the big but, we have very, very finite human time to actually fill it.
It's the defining problem of the modern attention economy, really. We call it content saturation. I mean, think about it historically. The barrier to growth used to be distribution.
Right. Getting your message out there was hard and expensive.
Exactly. You had to buy TV ads, print catalogs. Now, distribution is basically free. The pipes are everywhere.
Yeah, the pipes are free, but they are completely clogged. We're drowning in channels, but starving for the actual stuff to put in them. And that is, I think, exactly where our deep dive is going today. We're looking at two technologies that, on the surface, they look like they belong in totally different departments. But when you put them together,
It starts to look a lot like the future of marketing.
it really does.
It's a classic case of the engine and the fuel. So we're analyzing two distinct players. First up, we have Batch.
Right, Batch. They call themselves a customer engagement platform, a CEP. Now, before everyone's eyes glaze over at another acronym, just think of them as the engine. They're the high-speed system that decides who gets a message, when they get it, and, on what device.
And then on the other side, we have Auto Content ATI. This is the infrastructure tool. This is the fuel. It solves that production problem we just talked about. It's all about turning raw data into podcasts, videos, and articles at a scale that, frankly, human teams just can't match.
So the mission today is to figure out what happens when you hook that engine up to that fuel source. We want to see how a business uses Batch to manage the relationship, the plumbing, so to speak, and auto content to generate the actual media needed to keep that relationship alive.
And I'll warn you up front, my approach to this is very industrial. I think we need to stop seeing content as this manual craft, like whittling wood or something, and start seeing it as what it is becoming, scalable infrastructure.
See, that sounds a little cold, but I'm actually really excited about the infinite content angle. So let's unpack it. We have to start with the vessel, right? Let's talk about batch.
Right. And to understand batch, you have to understand the headache most marketers wake up with every single morning. It's the data silo problem.
Oh, the classic, I have the data, but I can't actually touch it problem.
Precisely. Usually, a marketer wants to send a campaign, let's say a push notification, to people who bought running shoes last month because socks are on sale.
Makes sense.
But that data is locked away in a warehouse, like Snowflake or BigQuery. So they have to email the IT team, wait 3 days for a CSV file, upload it.
And by then, the moment's gone. The customer already bought socks somewhere
The
else.
moment is totally gone. It's a latency tax. And Batch basically comes in and says, let's cut out the middleman.
Okay, so how do they do that?
They position themselves as a marketing-ready data platform. They've built over 50 native connectors: Snowflake, BigQuery, Piano, all the big ones. The whole idea is that the marketer gets direct access to the data without needing to know SQL or bug the IT department. You query it directly in the batch interface.
The sources mentioned some pretty wild speed metrics here. They claim marketers can set up a campaign in 5 minutes.
5 minutes and a full user journey in 15.
That's a massive leap.
It is. They cite a 3x productivity boost on average across their clients. Because when you remove that friction, that wait time, you're not just faster, you become more experimental.
That's a good point.
If it takes 3 days to pull a list, you only send the safe email. If it takes 5 minutes, you might try something a little weird, a little more creative.
And it's not just email, is it? I saw a whole list of channels.
No, it's truly omnichannel. We're talking email, SMS, in-app messaging, mobile push, and web push. And the volume it can handle is, well, industrial grade. The architecture can send 500 million emails an hour.
Half a billion
Yeah.
an hour. That's a lot of noise if you're not careful.
And that brings us to the so what of this whole section. Batch gives you the pipes. It gives you the power to target the exact right person instantly on any device.
Hot.
But a pipe is useless if you don't have anything interesting to put inside it.
Right. You can target me perfectly at 8 a.m. on my commute, but if you send me a boring, generic text message, I'm still just going to ignore it.
Exactly. You have the engine, but you need the fuel. And that brings us to Auto Content API.
Okay, so let's pivot to the fuel. The source material for Auto Content API talks about this idea of a production bottleneck.
It's just the reality of a multimodal world. To build what we call mental availability, which is basically just staying in your customer's head, you need to be everywhere: text, audio, video.
But the cost of that is insane.
Prohibitively expensive. I mean, Hiring an editorial team, an audio team for podcasts, a video team, a social team. Very few companies can afford that.
So they just pick one. We're a blog company or we're a YouTube channel. They're forced to make a trade-off.
Correct. Auto Content API is trying to break that trade-off. Their philosophy is API first.
Right.
And this is a really crucial point. It is not a chatbot where you type a prompt and hope for a good result.
Okay.
It's an industrial engine. It's designed for something they call content transformation.
I love that term, content transformation. It implies you already have the good stuff, you just need it in a different shape.
That is the key insight. Most businesses have plenty of information. They've got blogs, PDFs, white papers. They don't lack ideas, they lack formats. Auto Content takes a URL or a PDF and just transforms it.
One of the things that jumped out at me was the audio capability. The source explicitly mentions Google's Notebook LM.
Right.
We've talked about that before. It's that cool tool where you upload a doc and two AI hosts chat about it.
It is cool. But Auto Content makes a key distinction here. They call themselves the Notebook LM API alternative. See, Notebook LM is a consumer tool. You have to manually upload files. There's no automation.
Ah, so it doesn't scale.
It doesn't scale. Auto Content offers that same two hosts chatting format, but it's API-based. You can hook it into Zapier or Make.com.
So nobody has to click generate. It just happens in the background.
Precisely. A news publisher could automatically turn every single article they publish into a podcast episode instantly. And it's not just generic voices. They have voice cloning.
Whoa.
So you could have the CEO's voice reading the daily update without the CEO ever stepping into a recording booth.
That is both amazing and slightly terrifying, but let's stick with amazing for now. And it does video too.
It does. It focuses on two specific video needs. First, vertical shorts for TikTok or reels, those faceless videos with avatars and subtitles.
You see those everywhere.
And second, horizontal explainer videos for landing pages. It can crawl a website and just make a 60-second video explaining the product.
And the cost difference has to be, well,
ridiculous.
It's simple economics. A manual podcast episode can cost anywhere from, say, $150 to $500, even on the cheap end.
An Auto Content episode, between 10 cents and maybe 2 euros. When the cost drops by 99%, the way you use the medium completely changes. You stop treating content like a precious jewel and start treating it like a utility.
Okay, so we have Batch, the ultra-fast, high-volume delivery system. And we have Auto Content, the ultra-cheap, high-volume creation system. Let's connect the dots. How do these two actually work together?
This is where it gets really fascinating. If Batch is the orchestrator deciding who gets the message, then Auto Content is the fabricator that makes the message bespoke. Let's run through a few scenarios.
Right, hit me. Use case A.
Let's call this hyper-personalized nurturing, using audio. So imagine a commuter segment. Batch, using its data platform, identifies a group of users who always open the brand's newsletter on their phone between 7 and 9 a.m.
Okay, so we know the context. They're busy, they're mobile, probably on a train or in a car.
Right. Now, normally you'd just send them a text-heavy email. But reading on a crowded train is annoying. So, the workload changes. Auto Content API takes that newsletter text, automatically converts it into a 5-minute audio overview podcast and generates an MP3 link.
And then Batch steps in.
Batch takes that link and triggers a push notification just to those commuters that says something like, don't read the news, listen to it.
That is so smart. You're giving them the content in the format that fits their context. It's solving a user experience problem with content generation.
Exactly. You're solving the user's problem, not just the marketer's problem. And Batch is the delivery mechanism that makes sure only the commuters get the audio.
Okay, what about video? You mentioned those explainer videos.
Right, let's talk about converting anonymous traffic. This is a huge pain point for e-commerce. You have people visiting your site, looking at products, but they don't buy. Batch has this feature, anonymous to identified matching. It can figure out that an anonymous visitor is probably the same person as a known profile.
So we know they were looking at the premium coffee machine page, even if they didn't log in.
Exactly. But maybe they didn't convert because they didn't want to read a wall of text to understand the features. So Auto Content has already crawled that product page and generated a 60-second high-energy explainer video.
And Batch delivers it.
Batch triggers an in-app message or a web push. Still thinking about the coffee machine. Watch this 1-minute demo. Video increases dwell time. It keeps them on the page. You're using a high-value asset to nudge that hesitation.
I like that. It feels proactive. Okay, the third use case in the notes was newsjacking. This one sounds intense.
This is for the speed junkies. Speed is so critical in modern marketing. If something happens in your industry, say a crypto crash, You need to react now.
But usually by the time the legal team approves a blog post, it's next week.
Exactly. So here's the workflow. Auto Content API has a feature where it monitors X and Reddit. It detects a trending topic with high sentiment, like that crypto crash.
It sees the fire starting.
It sees the fire. And it immediately uses its deep research capability to browse the web, find out why it's crashing, and generates a market alert video short.
Automatically, without a human scripting it.
Automatically. Then, that video asset gets passed to Batch. And Batch's orchestration engine sees the tag crypto-interested users and instantly pushes that video via SMS.
So while your competitors are scheduling a meeting to discuss a content strategy, your customers are already watching a video explaining what's happening.
That's it. You become the authority because you were first. And you were first because you removed the human bottleneck from the production line.
That is a wild competitive advantage. But I want to zoom out a bit. We're talking about very fast, very automated systems. How does this handle global scale? Because one of the things about Batch is that it seems very European focused.
That's an important observation. Batch really highlights its sovereign architecture. It's GDPR compliant, and critically, it sits outside the US Cloud Act.
Mm-hmm.
For European companies, that's a massive selling point.
Okay, so Batch keeps the data safe and local, but content has a language barrier. If I'm a French company, how do I reach the German market without hiring a whole German team?
And that's where Auto Content's global scale comes in. It supports over 50 languages.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the play. A company in Paris writes one campaign in French.
Just one asset.
One asset.
Mm.
Auto Content automatically takes that asset, translates it, and resynthesizes the audio or video into English, German, Spanish, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't just subtitle it. It creates native-sounding audio in those languages.
And then Batch does the delivery.
Batch segments the audience by their language preference, which it knows from their app settings,
yeah,
and delivers the German video to the German user and the Spanish video to the Spanish user instantly.
So you look like a multinational media empire, but really you're just one marketing manager in Paris with some really good APIs.
That is the definition of leverage. You are decoupling output from headcount.
There was another term in that section that caught my eye. Programmatic SEO. I feel like that usually just means spammy garbage pages.
Historically, yes. It's often called thin content. You make 5,000 pages that all say best plumber in Austin, best plumber in Dallas, and Google hates it.
So how is this different?
Auto Content offers a way to make this actually valuable by generating unique multimedia for every single one of those pages. You use the Deep Research API to write a unique guide for each city using real local data.
Okay.
Then you generate a unique podcast episode discussing that specific city. Then you create a unique video for that city.
So suddenly it's not spam, it's a rich media page.
Exactly. And Batch can then use those pages as the landing destinations for its automated email journeys. So every click leads to a genuinely high-value experience. You're flooding the zone with quality, not just keywords.
That's impressive. But looking forward, where is all this going? We've got the engine, we've got the fuel. What does the road ahead look like?
The sources point to a concept called the agentic web.
The agentic web, that sounds very sci-fi.
Yeah. It's the shift where AI agents start reading content for humans. Soon, you won't browse the web.
Hmm.
Your AI assistant will browse it for you and just summarize the answer.
So if my content isn't readable by an AI, I'm basically invisible.
Correct. Auto Content outputs what we call structured data, JSON files, citations. This is catnip for AI agents. But there's another layer, audio indexing.
Search engines listening to audio.
Yes. They're starting to index audio content. So by converting your text to audio with Auto Content and distributing it with Batch, you're future-proofing your visibility. You're making sure you can be heard by the search engines of tomorrow.
And that all connects back to the internal teams too, right?
Absolutely. Don't forget them. Batch creates efficiencies for IT and data teams by freeing them from pulling lists. Auto Content does the same for creative teams.
Yeah, the creatives aren't bogged down making 50 versions of the same video.
Exactly. So when you combine them, a small team can operate with the output of a massive media house.
Right.
It just fundamentally changes the economics of the firm.
So let's wrap this up. We've covered a lot of ground. We've really moved from build it and hope they come to, I don't know, be everywhere instantly.
That's the summary. Batch provides the infrastructure for relationship management, the nervous system, if you will.
And Auto Content API provides the infrastructure for content creation, the voice.
And the barrier to entry is gone.
Zero.
The barrier to entry for high-quality media is now zero. The competitive advantage is no longer, can you make a video? Or can you start a podcast? Anyone can. The advantage is, how fast can you get the right one to the right person?
Which brings us to the final thought. And this is something I want everyone listening to really sit with for a moment.
Go on.
If AI can research the topic, if it can write the script, if it can clone the CEO's voice and create the video, and if Batch can automatically figure out who needs to see it, target them, and deliver it, then what is the role of the human marketer in 2026?
That is the billion-dollar question.
My take. I think the role is no longer about making the stuff. It's purely about asking the right questions in the first place.
I think you might be right. Strategy over execution.
Strategy over execution. A huge thank you for breaking all this down today. This has been a fascinating look into the engine and the fuel of modern marketing.
My pleasure.
And to you listening, thanks for giving us your finite time in this world of infinite shelf space. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.